Good day and welcome to the Fleetcast. I am not Will. In fact, my name is David. Will's got the day off, and as such, I'm filling in for him. A few notes around the fleet here. I'll go through all the news, and we'll pop up with the Sim of the Week in a little bit here. As well as Will did an interview with John of the Fox that we will get to later in the show. But first, I will start with Fleet News. We have a Marine deserter from inside TF-47. All ships are to keep an eye out for a man by the name of Eric Hamilton, a second lieutenant, due to be apprehended for desertion and theft of a shuttlecraft. His current location is uncertain on the USS Missouri, under the command of Commander Cavendish, is on its way to find a missing crew member. Any news or information concerning the matter would be greatly appreciated. Please forward the information to Chief Security Intelligence Jack Carter, Lieutenant, or to the Marine Detachment CO Annette Waltz. The captain declares the nebula unsafe. Recent analysis of the nebula B776, also known colloquially by Starfleet personnel as the Hades Hand Nebula, is revealed to be an anomaly that is unsuited for space travel at any time. USS Voltaire, primarily survey assignment to the nebula, quickly descended into fast-paced rescue operation as the crew intercepted a long-range distress signal orienting from the center of matter cloud. Nebula, named due to its appearance through the atmosphere of the surface of nearby planets in the Tianga system, has been revealed to have a primary composition of microscopic rock. This rock plays host to microbiotic life forms, currently unknown to Federation scientists. Life form itself is known to physically infect humanoid species after direct contact. Crew members of the Federation's SS Palin, stranded inside the nebula, recently cured of the microbes' detrimental effects. Captain Ball Keno, promoted to Starbase 177 3 days ago, also revealed several navigational and mechanical errors present due to the interference with nebula, and is officially given the anomaly a Class 2 status as unsafe. In other news, the personal liaison officer is still being sought for both Task Force 72 and 47. If you're looking for further details, head on over to the site and you can apply. And if you've got creative writing skills or you think you can catch people's attention, then you are most definitely desired in this position. Moving on to our Sim of the Week. The USS Gemini, a Galaxy-class commanded by Commander Sarah Marie Sutherland, and her executive officer being Lieutenant Commander Raymond Wolf. So congratulations to them. And our honorable mention will actually be the USS Illustrious, one of the newest ships to the fleet. Captain William Sedgwick, I probably said that wrong, and catch me later, has brought one of the newest ships into the fleet here, and we're excited to have them. So they're our honorable mention for today. Unfortunately, I believe I mentioned earlier that we actually don't have any news from Will's mailbox today, so I will not be able to do that for you guys. I am, however, asked to poke fun at our lovely triad as we're having issues with the forum right now. As I'm sure everyone's noticed, there's been a huge collection of spam bots on lately, and as a result, all members of the fleet that now apply to get approval on the forums require admin approval. So if you guys have applied to get on there and you're realizing you're having issues, you really cannot blame us. Not anyone else's fault, but those who want to spam us. And maybe the triad a bit, but that might be poking a little far. I think now we've got time. We're going to turn over to the interview with John and the SS Fox. So I'll pass it over to Will.
Thanks for sticking around today. We have John with us on the lovely day of the 12th of February. And he is the commanding officer of the Fox. Would you just tell us a little bit about the Fox? It's a civilian sim in Obsidian Fleet, of course, and Tell us a little bit about how it's like running a civilian sim. Well, and welcome to the show.
Well, it's a lot of fun running a civilian sim. Like you said, the Fox is a freighter, which basically means that we can do whatever we want as long as we get paid. And I'm really glad that I have players that are capable of developing their own plot lines, so I can, yeah, really run with that concept.
Awesome. So I like to get this out of the way first, because I talk to a lot of commanding officers, and I always have something to say to their players. So is there anything that you want to say specifically to your players that you want to get on air?
That I want to get on air? I think they're a great bunch, but I think everyone says that about their player base. It's just, I hope that we will go on for years to come. That's what I hope.
You know, that's really good, because everyone does say that they're a great bunch. And, I mean, I'm sure they are. But it does get a little old. So, let's see, I'm trying to think of a good question to follow up with that. What do you see as the, speaking of futures, what do you see as the future for Obsidian Fleet?
For Obsidian Fleet? I guess that by the development of the internet, you can see that a lot of sites go over to the Nova and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think things get a bit more coherent within the fleet because of this. And I think that there will be a lot more player-generated content available on the wiki and the forums.
Okay.
Which is good. It's going to be huge.
So all you see is Obsidian Fleet going up then, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be really hard to put Obsidian Fleet down. If you see what the past is and how it has developed and what the foundation is we have right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the podcast we're on right now is a great example of how I think the development of the internet and of everything will just make things better, potentially.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I wanted to do something as kind of like a backstory to this, to the podcast. I wanted to do something that would be of use to Obsidian Fleet, but I didn't really know what to do. And, I mean, I guess I'm still getting the hang of it, but I think it's gone pretty well so far.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, so, huh?
No, thank you.
Talking about questions... The thing that I'm gonna be working on probably is a guide for counselors in Obsidian Fleet.
Okay, so like a how to write posts, or are you looking more for like a how to play a character, or what are you looking for on that?
The background for counselors is really rather weak most of the time, I find. Not trying to put anyone down in particular, but from what I saw, really the concepts of psychology and counseling don't really shine through there. They're just another character on the bridge giving their opinion, really. And that's also part of the reason why I joined Lancelot as a counselor, to see what would work as a counseling character. So really background into the field of counseling, the different types of techniques for counseling, problem-based therapy, solution-based therapy, rational emotive therapy, aggressive or provocative therapy, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And really get to people to think what kind of a counselor is my counselor, because there is a big difference, and I can only see it getting bigger in the future because, well, especially if there are very different types of aliens about.
Fair enough, and you know, we have quite a bit of bunch of aliens around here, so
yeah.
That's it's always a good thing to be able to reach into the dark recesses of a character's mind, or your own mind, if their character is a reflection of yourself, which I know for me it kind of is.
Usually so, always is. At least a bit, is it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you have to play it, so...
Yeah. It's got to come from somewhere.
Very, very true. All right, so what do you look for in a player and his or her application to join the ship as a CO, and why is that so important to you?
For the Fox, more than for my previous command, it's the background. Mm-hmm. I really want the background to be good. And I know some of my character, some of my players don't have a full background yet. Which has to do with how I brought them together, but if someone applies without me knowing beforehand, I'd look at the background, see what tie-ins I have, how they thought it over, and I can really get a bit disappointed, really, when I see a character say a 70 or 80-year-old Vulcan, who has about 3 or 4 paragraphs of text. I mean, my CO character right now is like 35. Mm-hmm. And I have quite a bit more than that for a history. And I'm not saying everyone should make an essay of it, but it really shows how much effort you put into that and how much you are willing to invest in your character and thus the sim.
Awesome.
And it's really important for a civilian ship because the background are the things I tap into when creating mission plots, because everything eventually, I hope, will be character driven.
So obviously, since the Fox is a civilian sim, you've mentioned that you need to have essentially a very good bio. All right, and that your plot is a lot of character-driven. And you've mentioned that you see the Fox being around as a driving force, essentially, in Obsidian Fleet for a long time. How does this all add up to make a not just a good player, but a great player? Like, what do people need to do to just get that little more oomph to their writing?
There are little bits of everything, I guess. You have to have a character that's a little bit more than a stereotype. It doesn't have, not a cardboard cutout, if you will. Mm-hmm. Gotta have, like I said, the background. I had something on my mind. It slipped. Oh, yeah. What's important to me, personally, is realism in how you use techniques or how you use mechanics to work for you within the Star Trek universe. And I'm not someone who is really anal about all the little things that have to be right. I am a free-minded CO in that matter, mm-hmm. but you have to back it up.
What's the most interesting character race that you've played?
The most interesting character race. I've played a lot of characters. I had a lot of fun with my joint Trill. I had a lot of fun with my liberated Borg. I think my current commanding officer character is a great character, but not specifically because it's a Betazoid, but more because of the concept that's behind it. She's because she's a civilian, she can be a bit, you know, rough around the edges, and as such, she's a scammer. She's a scam artist. That makes for interesting writing. She knows sleight of hand and that sort of stuff, and she really, yeah, she can do something with it in her line of work. But I think the most interesting race I've played, yeah, I've got to have to say it's going to be my own race, the non-canon one I created. I think there are bits and pieces of it on the Obsidian database.
Cool. So since the Fox is a civilian sim, what's the difference between the plot of a civilian sim and the plot of just a normal Federation sim?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's a lot more character-driven, a lot more based on what the characters have already done. And since we can do whatever we want, it is possible for us to go off and find a person that one of my crew has lost a long time ago, or something they really want, if one of the characters is a collector and that sort of stuff. But we still have a driving force, because in Starfleet you have the ideals of the Federation, and you want to explore new worlds and new civilizations, that sort of stuff. And our driving force is money. it really makes it a lot easier to just create a very little plot and really flesh it out due to the characters that are on there. Everyone is so vastly different because of all the different backgrounds. My CO comes from the Maquis. The signaler comes from the Andorian Imperial Guard. There is an ex-convict. There is a bounty hunter. There is the only Starfleet officer on board is actually enlisted, so not an officer, but is the liaison officer. It's really the chemistry that makes the plot so very different.
Awesome. It does sound like you have a very different feel than a normal Starfleet ship, and you should. So that's a good thing.
That was the idea behind it, yeah.
that's a really good thing.
Yeah. And I don't want to seem like a copy of Serenity, because it's kind of popular. Too bad it had to get cancelled to get popular, but I think there are some similarities between that, and I'm okay with that. But I want to grow beyond that stereotype and want to be able to really say, well, this is the Fox. It's yes, it is a civilian sim. Yes, it is gritty, and it is about yeah.
Sweet. So for enough Gold Press Latinum, would you take my character on board who is a spy for a rogue government?
For enough Gold Press Latinum?
Yeah.
For enough Gold Press Latinum, I'd spy for your government.
Well said.
There's probably going to be some plots involving that, because of material her that's my CO character, by the way. Her background in really scamming people out of their money. There are probably going to be heists, bank heists, and things like that. The beginning of the Fox story, as we began to write it, was that the old crew was all convicted of smuggling illegal substances, except for the captain and the now first mate, who was the chief physician.
Fair enough. Wow, you guys seem like you have a bunch of very interesting characters. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Awesome. So I think that we're coming to the end of the interview here, and I don't know if there's been anything burning inside of you that you want to ask me, but if you do, now's the time.
Well, if your character ever needs, like, Romulan ale, since it's getting rarer now, since the Hobo explosion? No, the Hobus supernova.
You guys have a lot stocked up?
Yeah, we foresaw that. No, we still have some in our cargo bay, so if you need it, I can hook you up.
Hey, that's cool. Maybe you and I will have to go on a little jaunt and get the entire triad drunk so we can steal their triadic chocolate.
That would be a great idea. I think material will be up for that. Stealing chocolate.
Hey, as long as it's a worthy cause, as long as it's going to the worthy cause, it's going to, like, the orphans on insert planet here.
As long as I get paid.
As long as you get paid. All right. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, John. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
And we'd like to get you back on sometime. So.
Yeah, sure.
Thank
we'll
you.
I'll see you back then and see how far we've gone.
Of course. Well, it's my hope that the podcast will be around for a little while longer. So I would really enjoy getting you back.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, John. Thank you, Will, even though you're not here today. He wants me to remind you guys, if you've got any questions about anything you've seen on the show or anything you've heard, you can email them to tf72@obsidianfleet.net just for the time being. Get a hold of Will. He'll get back to you if he can. Hopefully we'll get things on the show. Again, you guys, we're always still looking for people to come on, so if you're interested, throw Will an email and he'll see if he can fit you in somewhere. He is a very busy man, though, as you can tell. Also, just have fun with this. I mean, look at me. I've been listening to the Fleetcast since it was the TF21 podcast way back when Will was my task group commanding officer. So, you know, it's for everyone. This isn't just for one person of the fleet. We're all supposed to be enjoying ourselves. Seriously, enjoy yourself. Anything you want done on the show, for example, I believe Will's still looking at content managers and such, get in contact with him. It's what he's supposed to be there for. The fleet's news system. That's what we are. Will said make a joke, but unfortunately I'm a jokeless person. I'm not very funny. I'm more of a serious person. So with that, I'm just going to sign off. I've been David, your impromptu host for the day. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and or evening or morning if that's when you're listening to us.